This interview was recorded for the Dersingham 2000 History Project on the 17th of October 1998. Please can I have your full name?
Bernard Graham Twite.
And do you have a nickname?
Bernie.
And when did you first come to Dersingham?
I was born in the village.
Did you live here all your life in this house?
No.
Would you like to tell me how it all started, please?
I was born in Lynn Road, which is now number 29. I lived there until I married. We moved out of the village for a short spell and then came back in to Manor Road. And when the house we now live in came up for sale, we bought it, and we've been here since 1968.
And do other members of your family live in the village?
No, my son and daughter are both living away.
Now, because you were born here, I want you to cast your mind right back to when you were a little lad, mm-hmm. and tell me anything you can remember about your childhood in the village.
The earliest recollection would have been probably the latter end of the war, the sound of the planes going out or coming back.
Now, you were how old then?
I was born in 1939, so four, five.
Right.
The bombers from the airfields round about would be going out over the Wash and coming back. I can remember the army exercising and manoeuvres. The drift would disappear under smoke at times, smoke screens. I can remember convoys of army vehicles being parked along Lynn Road and all the houses providing tea and sandwiches for the soldiers.
But where were they based?
Some would have been at the drill hall and some what is now St George's.
So they actually lived there?
They were local, yes. We also had soldiers billeted with us during the war. They would... I'm not quite sure why, but quite a number of soldiers were in houses when they were about. They would go off and then they would come back. And again, we kept in touch. They were close friends. And then up till the time they died, up into the 50s and 60s, they did keep in touch.
Presumably it's the sort of strategic importance of the East Coast.
Probably, yes.
The Germans and everything.
Yes.
So you've got happy memories of the soldiers, but were your parents worried having all these soldiers here?
No, I think they were here and they finished up part of the families and everybody just accepted them and enjoyed the company and got on with life.
And the same with the aeroplanes, they didn't worry about the fact they were flying over so much?
I don't think so, no. No. I was too young probably to pick that side of it up anyway.
Well, then, of course, you go to school here.
Yes.
What can you tell us about that?
They were happy days. There was... Miss Robertson was the first teacher. Then Mrs. Hudson, Polly Hudson. Mrs. Boyce, who remarried and became Mrs. Barker, lived in Station Road. Miss Crow. And the headmasters, my first headmaster was Mr. Mason Jones, and then we had Mr. Carr. But they were good teachers, and that was always a happy atmosphere.
And presumably you did the 3 hours?
Yes.
Yeah. And what games did you boys used to play then?
Football, probably, with a tennis ball in the school playground. At times the braver ones would hang and jump from the wall overlooking the emblems. The trick was to see how far you could jump out from the wall instead of straight down. Till one of the teachers twigged what was happening again and dove up the yard and put a stop to it. There was also a gate in the top corner of the playground where you could get down onto the emblems.
When you say the emblems, what was that?
That's the pasture and the corner on the corner opposite the Feathers, as you swing round the corner. At that time, there was a big pond in there, and that was all just grassland.
Now, there is a house there now, opposite the Feathers, and up that corner, isn't there? Are you not talking about as far as that?
No. You got the old house set back off the road up the corner.
Yes.
Yeah. Now this would be between the house and the bottom of the school playground.
And who owned that land?
Sandringham.
Right.
Because over the years that has gradually disappeared. At the time I was at school, there was a footpath from the gate in the bottom corner through the emblems, then up the hill, and you'd come out at the green at the top of Dodd's Hill, where the first cottages are.
Right.
Yeah. That was, which is now built on, that was all grassland as well, which Stanton had.
So now that bit of land is just sort of no man's land.
Well, the emblems?
Yes.
That, I don't know what happened there quite, that gradually got took, part of it got took in with the gardens from the new properties that were built just at the top of Dodd's Hill,
yes.
Next to the fire station.
Yeah.
And gradually the use got less and less, and it's gradually been shut off.
Yes.
The last I knew of it at one stage, that was just grazing for some horses.
And of course now the school isn't even a school anymore.
No. No. And I was all, when we were at school, in the winter time, when the pond froze over, then everybody would be there sliding and skating. And it disappoints me that it got such an overgrown state. I always felt that was a part of the village,
an
amenity.
And it wasn't deep enough for children to drown?
No, no.
It was a little shallow pond.
Yeah, and it was spring fed. There was a feed in from the woods up the back.
Right, so you used to be able to
skate slowly in the winter.
Now, did you stay to school dinners or did you used to walk home?
You come home for dinner. There was no school dinners. We called the bottom school at that time.
And I suppose mothers didn't go out to work really much,
did No, they? And they didn't come after you either. You did it on your own. It was
Children had a lot more freedom then.
Yes,
really,
there was no fear of anything happening.
No. So you played football really till you were a teenager, I suppose.
Yeah, just the normal. I suppose the girls skipped and done just the normal things that children of that age did at that time.
Yes. Did you belong to any clubs or anything like that when you were young?
I belonged to the Cubs for a time and the Boy Scouts, but not for that great length of time.
And basically that was it?
Yeah.
Now, did you work in the village when you were young?
I worked as an errand boy in one of the local shops for about 2 years. The Norfolk Stores, which is now a private house, which was on the corner as you turn into King's Croft off Chapel Road. That was grocery and off licence.
Right, I can't even remember that. Now,
no.
Tell me something about the shop, because I can't remember that.
Oh, that went. I don't know how old the shop was. The original manager there was Peter Houchin, who was part of one of the old village families. At my time, the manager was Arthur Stewart, whose parents lived up Dodd's Hill. It belonged to Peatling and Cordron, who were wine and spirit people. Their head place was at Fakenham. And eventually, before I left, they sold out to Green King the Brewers. One half of the shop was grocery and the other half was wines and spirits and beers.
It wasn't what became Mrs. Baverstock's shop?
No. Mm-hmm. No, Shanks's from the garage, Red Pump's garage, took it on as a laundrette after it closed as a shop.
Right.
You must admit, that would be at the time when we came back to the village.
Yes.
And you must have remembered that. It's sort of a row, there's your Red Pump's there, and that's
yes.
The row of cottages down there. And right at the end, it was a laundrette.
But I thought it was Beryl Bavistock's pottery shop, because we used to go in there and buy sherry at Christmas.
Did she have it? Yes, I believe she did. Yes, she did. Yes, you are
that,
right.
That
yes.
would be...
Yeah, and yes. I can't remember which way that went round.
That was when we first came.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then Shanks has took it on after her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I can remember you used to be able to buy sherry from the wood. You'd take a bottle along.
Yeah, that's right. Yes,
well, then she took it on then after
the
Norfolk store.
So I cannot remember it ever being a grocer shop.
No.
So, I mean, it was a proper little old grocer's.
It was a big store. It covered a wide area. They delivered to Wolferton, West Newton area, twice a week. There was a van. The orders would be collected one day and the stuff got together and took out 2 days later. And I was the errand boy with the bike.
And can you remember the sort of different kind of foods or the way it was done to, say, a modern supermarket?
Yes, that was before branded goods came back. Sugar would be weighed into the blue bags. Butter, lard, whatever would be cut and put in greaseproof paper. There was no branded goods at all.
So people come in and buy a quarter of a pound? Or
yeah, whatever. An ounce, 2 ounces, one slice. Everything was loose. Rice was loose. What you call pulses, your peas, and everything was in drums and weighed out into bags.
And of course,
biscuits were loose.
People cooked a lot more, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. You had your big tins of biscuits stacked up. Everything was loose.
Yes. And people, I suppose, came every day because they didn't have refrigerators.
Yes, yeah.
So it was totally different. Now, what would you say was the most important day that you've ever spent here?
Do you want to stop that a minute? Come on. Right, important things. The death of King George VI affected a lot of people. I was at this second St George's school at that time.
Was that the St George that had given the school its name? Was that? Oh, no, you're talking about King George, sorry.
Sorry, yes, yeah, St George's school.
Yeah.
The school had the day off. And we were at Sandringham at the side of the road for the funeral.
Really?
Yes. The school were on the corner where you would come over from what's now the cafeteria to go into the grounds. We were lined up along there for the funeral procession when it came from the church.
So he was buried?
No, the funeral service was at Sandringham.
Was at Sandringham?
Yes.
I see.
And then the coffin was taken to Wolferton and put on the train to go to London. But the school were, St George's School, because of its close association with the Sandringham.
Yes, because the Sandringham had donated the school.
Yes, they were on the corner as you go into the grounds.
Oh dear, yes. Because Dursingham has a long relationship with the royal family, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Because the St George's School was in the wartime was army use. That was took over by the army.
Before it actually became a school?
It was, as I understand it was built as a school in the late 30s, but then the war came along and the army took command of it before it was ever used as a school. And then after the war, I think it was done through Sandringham, it was offered back
to the
education purposes.
Now,
yes.
Would that be when Mr. Willis took it on?
Yes, Mr. Willis was the first headmaster.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of people owe a great deal to him.
Really?
He was a good man. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you were at school when he was the head.
Oh, yes, yes.
What can you remember about him?
He commanded respect. He was good with children. He could relate to them, and they learnt a lot from him. But if you stepped out of line, you soon came back into line.
Do you remember what what he used to do to punish children who were caught smoking?
Well, the slipper was the standard punishment if you got as high as Mr. Willis. Yes.
I can remember Mr. Willis telling me that he took a boy in for persistent smoking and made him smoke one cigarette after another until he was sick. And he never smoked again.
No, I don't know. I've never heard that one.
Yeah, it Mr. Could, Willis it, told it, me that when he was
yeah,
alive.
Yeah, he could well have. Yeah. Yes. He had a way of sorting things out.
Yes. Yes, it was a good old school.
Yes. Yeah.
So what else can you remember as being important?
The floods. Although they didn't affect Dursingham, the line of water stopped at the railway line.
Yes.
Dursingham has just sent back in land from the rest of the coast. And so as far as injuries or damage, we didn't suffer too much.
No.
But no. It still affected the village for a long while.
Because people did die.
Yes, yeah.
There was a lot of damage to property further along.
Yeah, and my father, he had to cycle to Wolferton early hours of the morning to help get the racehorses out of Wolferton stud.
Was that down?
The horse stud at Wolferton.
Oh, it was on water level.
The water was coming up, yes, and he had to cycle in the gales and the storm.
To get the horses?
To help get the horses out.
And where did they move them up to high ground?
I can't recall where they went. He never did say much, but he said that he was down to getting the horses out.
Right.
I'm sure they took them
up to Sandringham. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So what another thing you can remember?
Sherman, the garage, which is now the Kuwait garage, that was owned by Mr. Sherman. The whole area was wooden garage buildings.
Which, the Kuwait garage on the corner,
on the corner of Post Office Road.
Right.
And that was completely destroyed by fire one night. Probably around about 1948, I would think.
Oh.
Again, it was something, I suppose, it affected the village because for the village garage to be burnt down at that time was a major disaster.
Yes.
They were all wood buildings. Mr. Fred Magnus, he lived in one of the two cottages opposite. He worked there and he got the cars out of the garage before the garage was destroyed. And I think perhaps on a humorous side of that, the biggest concern was whether the fire would burn the chip shop down.
Because that was the only chip shop in the village.
As I recall, the firemen had to keep water on the side wall to keep the heat down. There was a grave danger that the fish and chip shop would go, but it didn't.
Now, it repaired the cars of the few people who had them, presumably.
Yes. He also... One or two cars were taxis.
Right.
But they got them out.
Because in those days, there can't have been many car owners in the village.
No. Again, you had Mr. Bunn lived down Station Road. I can't remember his Christian name, but everybody called him Dinky. He had a taxi. He lived in one of the bungalows on the right as you go down the hill to the station. And again, Houchins in Bank Road, they had taxis.
So if people wanted to go into King's Lynn, for example, you could...
You could use the taxis, yes.
You can't remember what sort of prices they were then, I suppose.
No idea, no.
So people had bicycles?
Bicycles, horse and cart.
Well, of course, yes.
Or they went and got on the train.
Yes.
The train. Probably the train was the mainstay. Yeah.
So you can remember when the trains stopped?
Yes. Yeah.
Was it did it have a big effect on the village when they took the station away?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, what was it used for apart from shopping?
Goods. Your farmers. Your sugar beet was carted to the station and put on trucks. The coal for the coal merchants came in on trucks. anything like that, everything was all produce and goods, cattle, everything was moved by the railway.
By the railway. Yes, yeah. Of course, because there weren't the big lorries then.
No, a side thing from that. When my children were small, we had a beach hut at Heacham. And in the summertime, if it was a nice day, my wife, she could put the pram on the train with the children and go to Heacham and walk down to the beach hut. And when I finished work, we had a car then, and go and pick them up.
Because, I mean, mothers then had big prams.
Oh, they did.
We all had big,
those coach carriages.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, you wouldn't get them in a car.
No. You used to go up to town and do the shopping as well.
One occasion with the trains, that would be about, this would have been about 1958 probably. It started snowing in King's Lynn at 3 o'clock and it was an absolute blizzard, and the buses stopped running and the trains were still going, and I was at work at that time, and I should have worked till 5. And the conditions were so bad, I finished early and went to the station. And they finally managed to get the train out of Lynn Station at 8:30. And we got to Wolferton and the cutting was blocked. We went back to Wootton. Eventually we got to Dursingham. This was about 10 o'clock at night. And it was just a single track from the station up to the village. The snow was probably 3 feet deep by that time. But again, if the trains hadn't been there, you wouldn't have got home.
No, you would have been completely cut off. Yeah. Yes. Now, a lot of people have mentioned the opening of the bypass as being a very important day. Now, you must have suffered living here on the main road. I mean, what was it like?
You suffered, but if you've been born and brought up on the Lynn Road, it was a way of life and you didn't think anything of it.
But it must have got worse as time went on.
Yes. Summertime, you just...
Didn't come out.
Nothing went anywhere. You went out, but you walked or cycled. Yes, it was a godsend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could, I suppose, if you got and get out, you could go up the back way, if you were, say, going to the beach.
Yes. But even the back roads got known and used, and the back roads finished up as busy as what the main road did.
Yes, because I can remember when we first lived here, there was a policeman on a Sunday in the summer.
Yeah, on the crossroads.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
What about...
I suppose the ironic thing is, now the bypass has opened, we don't see the traffic, but it hasn't cured it, because if you walk down to the bypass, the traffic is still at a standstill. We've just put it somewhere else to do it.
So we're all right, Jack.
Basically, yes. Again, we bought our house off Norman Towers, the butcher. And although I never saw it done, the story was that when they wanted to go out at weekends, Mrs. Towers just marched into the middle of the road and put her arms out and stopped everything dead and waved Norman out, and off they went. Which was probably the only way to deal with the problem.
Absolutely, yes. Of course, nobody would know who you were, would they?
A wonderful story, and she was a big lady, and I could see her marching out there and doing it.
All you don't want is a lollipop.
Yeah.
Because it must have caused problems for the children who lived down this end of the village, getting across that main road, going to school. I remember a lollipop lady along the main road.
No, but you didn't have it wasn't too bad in the week. It was just Saturdays and Sundays with the holiday traffic van Stanton.
Yes, probably.
But again, probably at that, when we were at school, there wasn't the volume of traffic. But if you grow up with something, it's never a problem.
No. And of course, most of the village was this side of the main road.
Yes.
It's only infilled that side more in recent years.
Yes.
Right. Any other important time you can remember?
No, I think
that's about it.
I think they were probably the main ones. Yeah.
Now, what, as you've lived here all the while, have been the biggest changes you've seen in the village?
The bypass, obviously. the development, not necessarily for the better.
No, but there seems to be a consensus of opinion.
Yes.
Everybody regrets the development.
I had one occasion, somebody was protesting about some proposed development, and they said they were looking after our environment, protecting that space against development, and it was pointed out to them that where they lived, that was a green field till they arrived.
Yes.
So that there was certain animosity at times. I think we've always known that the development which has taken place would happen. It was just a case of when.
Yes.
And it's been accepted, and probably for them in the main it's for the good.
Yes, yes. Because it's given the village a lot of amenities.
That's
that
right.
We wouldn't have.
As a village, we've got every amenity you could wish for, really.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well.
Yes, that's right. And of course, now there is little scope for any more building once this is finished.
That's right, yeah.
So
yeah.
We will stay more or less as we are after that, won't we?
But the Sandringham Voo development, I can remember that being said probably as long ago as 1950. That was earmarked for housing.
Really?
Yes, that has always been known that it would be developed on eventually. It was always a case of when.
I would imagine the bypass helped, because the biggest problem was the getting all the traffic out onto this road.
Yeah.
So the bypass must have been a big encouragement to builders.
Probably also the Mountbatten development then opened it up.
Yes. Yeah. What would you like to see happen in the future?
A blend of progress and stay as you are. I'm concerned that the atmosphere of the village should be kept, but still move on as things change.
When you say the atmosphere, do you mean the sort of village feel?
Village feel, yes, yes.
Because a lot of people feel that we are no longer a village, we are a side of Lynn.
There are parts of the village I would call satellites.
Yes.
They are used as a base. Come home at night and sleep and go out in the morning.
Mm.
And the people don't necessarily want to or do take part in village life.
Yes.
It's just a convenience to be there. The atmosphere of the village is important. And also the village is quickly now losing its characters.
Yes.
I think once I can't see after my generation goes where the village characters are coming from.
No.
Some of the locals move away, and I think at times it's knocked out of anybody who's got that inclination that they get pulled into law and they're not allowed to develop their true way.
Yes, that's right. Now, what does the millennium mean to you? Does it have any significance?
Another year.
Basically
that, yeah.
Right, so it's just...
He'll be 60.
That's no problem.
Join the club.
That's no problem. Everybody makes New Year resolutions at the end of a year and say what they're going to do next year. I read and listen to what people in different places propose to do. And my feeling is a lot of it in 2 years will be dead and buried. It's to do, if you're going to do something, it's got to be something that will last and be used. And a lot of the schemes coming forward, I just don't feel are relevant, for want of a better word.
Right. Now, as I say, this interviewing thing we've discussed about the relevance of this.
Mm.
One of the main things that was on the list was this building of a new village hall.
Mm.
Now, first of all, do you think we need one?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Why?
You need, again, it goes back to me saying the village is fragmented. you haven't really got anything where you could, what I would say, pivot from. You've got the village, the social club, etc. But you haven't got one focal point which you could pull everything from.
Right. Where would you place it?
That is a tricky one, because it's not just the building. You probably need 2 or 3 times as much land for car parking, etc., as you do for an actual centre.
Right. So,
and my feeling is, if you would probably have to, I would nearly be inclined off the cuff to say, take some of the station road allotments. That would cause an uproar.
Yes. People have discussed this.
Yeah, I know.
I personally think it would probably look better than an allotment, because an allotment isn't a particularly sightly thing.
Yeah.
But you see, all the people who have the allotments would fight desperately to keep them.
Mm.
And as it's run by a sort of charitable trust.
I think the setting and the layout of the pastures should be left as it is. I don't think you can now do anything looking at the pastures site. The recreation field on the main road, I don't see where you would take too much land up for that.
There would be none of it left.
No.
It would all go down in car parks, and that would be a pity, yes.
You've got to have somewhere which is reasonably central. I suppose the other place might be the barren land, which was allotments at Sandringham Hill. Probably the ejection there would be the hill.
Yes. Difficult to.
But that would have been a big enough site.
Yes, yes. Now, there is a group of people who have already voted to say that they would like one. There's going to have to be a lot of fundraising. But at the end of the day, what would you say would be the main problems?
Although I would like to see one, I don't think it's a viable proposition.
Now, why?
I think it would take too long to raise the finance, and I think in the long run you would have problems running it. I think you would find people in the short term to get involved. Anything you take on is ultimately in the hands of the committee who run it, and you might start off with a good committee. But as the years go by, if you've got the wrong people coming in, it can cause problems. Other villages do it, and they do it well. I also feel that the organisations in Dursingham are a little bit their own kingdom inclined.
Yes, a bit insular.
Everybody looks after their own, but they will not get involved with anybody else. You need 2 or 3 people to take the village by the scruff of the neck and just get on and do it. There are people in the village who could and would, but won't.
Yes.
Because I think they've done things in the past and got so fed up with the attitude of everybody else that they just wouldn't take it on now.
The word that comes across a lot is apathy.
Mm.
Because of the fact that it is no longer...
It's always been in the village.
Yeah, well, again, you see, you can get over apathy if you've got the right people to do it. If you've got 2 or 3 people pulling the rest along, yes, you'll overcome apathy.
Yes.
It's
got to be somebody very strong and very committed.
But the early figures I've seen from the questionnaires, 400... replies from 1800,
that's right,
is a very small percentage.
Yes.
And I could be called a killjoy, but I would stop up on that alone.
Yes. So if there was money, a pot of money to be spent on this village for the millennium,
mm-hmm,
and that was applicable, what would you like to see that would improve this village?
I wouldn't necessarily go along the lines of improving the village visually. I would have preferred to see money used, put into trust, and used to help young people especially, and even older people, probably from education point of view. We all know these days how expensive it is to go to university, or anybody who's got ability is held back mainly because of the financial situation. They get no help with their schooling at all. And I would prefer to see money go into trust to help anybody in that direction. And possibly senior citizens as well.
Yes, so there was some kind of grant. Yeah.
Everybody's planting trees. Well, you can plant trees at any time. You can put a building up, do what you like, but to my mind, that isn't anything.
You think the money should go on people rather than
Yes,
buildings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I'd probably say if I stood up in public and said that, I'd be
shocked. You'd be shocked. And if you were, imagine 100 years' time, what would you say to people in 100 years' time, if you could?
What have you done?
What, for the village?
Mm. Mm. And I mean that from what a mess, what have you done?
Oh, I see. Mm. What have you done to our village?
It's the exclamation, yes. What have you done?
Why?
I don't think in the future the village will be looked after as it has in the past.
Because the people who feel the village is theirs,
yes,
will have died.
Yeah, I mean, the parish council at the moment, I suppose all the parish council are there because they feel for the village, but the biggest majority of them aren't village people as such. They're people that have moved in and made their home there and probably made a commitment to the village. But I think as the years go by, that will get less and less.
Mm. So will we really be a small town?
Yeah. I probably feel that once I'm gone, as each generation comes and goes, things change anyway.
Yes.
And I don't know whether that's right to worry about what people will do or how things will be.
Yeah. Yes.
But I think we've seen so many changes, even in the last 50 years, that we couldn't imagine. I suppose my way of putting it would be, I can recall people going to Lynn in a horse and cart, and then I can recall watching somebody land on the moon.
Yes, yes. There's been such enormous changes in our
my generation. Seen such a change that.
Yes.
I just couldn't possibly really think of what 100 years on would be.
No, and really, rounding it right down to the present, in the press today, there is talk of what this is going to be like in 100 years as a coastal town.
Yes.
And they're talking about massive flooding because of the this greenhouse effect.
Yeah.
So you might wonder whether parts of our village will be underwater in 100 years' time.
What it used to be. This was a port.
Yes.
There's the high tide mark on Sam's house next door.
Dursingham was a harbour. It's, I think if you haven't spoken to Mr. Haslam, this will probably come up with him. Down the drift, where the old Jell and Nana was, there was also Dursingham Harbour, where the ships came up
this far?
Yes, up to probably somewhere, it would be just beyond where the bypass is. And as I understand it, the drift was the cart track for the horse and carts to take the goods or collect the goods from the harbour.
Now, are you talking about as early as when?
1700s? The 18,
really?
I think. Yeah. Yes, I think. So I've only briefly touched on that, and I think Mr. Haslam would be the man to keep
you. And you say there is a watermark on one of the houses?
On Sam's, next door to us.
And how long has that house been here then?
Not the house, it's where the water used to be.
Oh, right. Mm.
This house we're in now was built in 1880.
So the water went back of its own through nature, did it?
Well, as it receded from Castle Rising, it carried on.
The marshes were gradually draining down.
Yes.
Dursingham is a little bit more inland than Snettisham and Wolverton, so I presume that's always helped anyway.
Yes, but here there isn't really much of a hill, is there,
no,
from here to the sea?
No.
I mean,
no.
Where we live on Station Road, there's quite a bank.
Yeah.
So in a terrible storm in the future,
yes,
with the waters rising, yeah,
it could well,
this house could well be underwater,
yes,
yeah, as the crow flies, that's flat,
yeah,
to the bottom,
yeah,
from,
yeah,
there.
So although it might not affect our property values now, in say 50 years time, people could be looking at and saying this house could well be underwater,
yes, yeah,
we will not be buying,
mm,
so the people in the future who live here may have a problem,
yes, yeah,
yeah.
Well, finally, are you going to be buried in the village?
That's an open question. At the present time, no.
Really?
I wouldn't say why on tape.
Right.
Probably.
It'll be down.
Probably deep down, if I had a wish, it would be cremation and probably be my ashes scattered on top of the common.
Right.
So many happy days up there. That, probably going back to something we've covered in the school days. That was where everybody went, was to the common.
Yes.
If you wanted company, everybody was up there.
Yes, so that was the main playground.
That was the main, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were happy times up there.
And finally, you've provided us with a lot of photographs. Mm. That could you just tell me the connection with your relative who originally got them?
My father was the local correspondent for the Lynn News and Advertiser, and then my mother took it on from him, and at that time any whole villages, all functions were covered by the local newspaper, and the local correspondents always had copies of the photographs, which through the family we have always retained.
Right, so you've got your own historical information.
I suppose it's a social history of the village from the late 40s at least to the 70s.
Really? Yes. Yeah. So it was very useful.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, thank you very much.